Today, we celebrate Divine Mercy. This feast was inaugurated by John Paul II in the year 2000. And the revelation that St. Faustina had deeply touched John Paul II and has resonated throughout the entire world. I think nearly everyone that knows how to pray the Rosary often will know how to pray the Divine Mercy Chaplet too. The Divine Mercy Chaplet has touched so many hearts, and it came at a time, it was right before World War II, really, when Poland desperately needed God's mercy. It's as if God was flooding out his mercy at the moment of greatest need, at the moment when they were in chaos. We look at the gospel reading today, you'll see that the disciples, it literally says, are in this upper room and they're afraid. They're afraid that they're going to die. Their life is totally turned upside down. Everything in their life is chaos. There's a scripture passage in the New Testament where it says they will strike down the shepherd and the sheep will be dispersed. And really their hearts are all scattered. They're going through this moment when in the midst of it, divine mercy is going to enter. Christ is going to walk right through the wall. He'll walk right through the wall and appear right in front of them. And he's going to breathe on them his spirit. And so wounded were the disciples that we see in Thomas. He still refuses to believe. So wounded, so chaotic is their life that Thomas will say, I won't believe unless I could touch the wounds in his hands, the wounds in his feet. If I could put my hand into his side, that's when I'll believe. All this story. You know, he's speaking from fear and is not allowing him to see that Christ is resurrected, that God is in our midst. And note, too, that when Jesus appears before them, he's going to say, receive the Holy Spirit. What sins you have forgiven will be forgiven. What sins you retain will be retained. And it's as if in the midst of this chaos, he's going to say, forgiveness, 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 mercy, mercy, mercy. Allow your heart to be vulnerable again. Now, for today, I was thinking of just generally a messy house, you know? And a messy house is a good analogy for often our family life. Our family life itself is much more than just a messy house. It is a messy life very often. How many times do we go towards each other? And how many wounds build up over the years within inside of our homes? And it becomes like we have stony hearts, you know? Before I came here, I was working in a retreat center and running a university ministry. And I had the privilege of accompanying, I don't know how many, well over 100 or 200 different couples, and many of them were going through divorce. And doing a qualitative study of it in my own mind, I would recognize that it took about 5 years of this hardness of heart, this lack of communication and these wounds, that all of a sudden, something explodes and their marriage is being destroyed, where they're no longer able to be vulnerable with each other. And it occurred to me that the sign of this divine mercy in the family, after years, years and years of being together, because it's easy to do this in your first year of marriage, but the sign when I can go in to a family and I'm looking for it is how tender the husband is to the wife. and how the wife is to the husband. And when in tenderness they leave place for each other, it's rare. And it's in that relationship that we see mercy. Because very few people will see how messed up your house is like your spouse. Very few people will see how messed up your inner house is like your family. And the victory of mercy in the family has a thermometer. And that thermometer is genuine forgiveness and tenderness. It has to go all the way to that tenderness. And I was thinking of that because when he comes in, Jesus comes into the house where the disciples were, it was messy. There was so messy that Thomas even refuses to believe, refuses to be vulnerable again. And so Jesus, what does he do? He says, "Here are my wounds. Put your finger here." You know, he allows himself to be vulnerable again. And life, yeah, it is hard work. But note, when Jesus appeared to St. Faustina, we saw blood and water flowing from his heart. And mercy has to flow from your heart out into actual gestures. Sometimes it translates to creating boundaries. Like I think of my mom and dad, there was a big moment when they realized that my mom doesn't sleep well and my dad sleeps super well while snoring, and so they separated a little bit the beds, and all of a sudden their marriage got better. There is a need for that mercy to flow and in tenderness to come to boundaries, but it has to flow out into a dialogue. It has to flow out into action and not just a thought. Not just, I want to be vulnerable to him, but he's a jerk, you know? I want to be nice to her, but every time she reminds me of what I did 5 years ago. No. It has to flow out of our heart and into the world around us. And it has to transform the house. And it's always going to be in that middle way, right? Where you're working hard at those boundaries that allow yourselves not to compromise. Compromise is not really the good thing, because imagine you compromise. One wants to go to visit mom, grandma, and the other one wants to go fishing. And we compromise? What does that mean? One loses. No, you work at it until you can really find a harmony. You work at it until you can really find a true middle ground. Not where one becomes a slave to another, but where both stand up as friends. And so I come back. Today is the day of mercy. And there's a special grace in the church, and is given today for that. And I truly believe that it has to flow to make you a messenger of mercy with inside of your home by having that hard conversation, but gentle and tender. And if you can't have that hard conversation without tenderness, you're not yet ready for it. You have to be strong and tender, or else, where is the love of God in your life? Intelligent, determined, and merciful. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.